You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Friday. It's a meat Friday. We got the Traegers fired up. Pulled pork is on the menu today. Come on in, stay a while. We'll talk about the All-Star selection. They're going to cram everything into one day. Three-point shooting, slam dunk at halftime, and the game itself. We didn't know for sure if there was going to be an NBA All-Star game this season. There were certainly some marquee players saying that they would prefer not to hold it. But we also have a dunk contest, and to be honest, I'm not sure it's worth it. I don't even know who's in it. I think Cassius Stanley of the Pacers is in it. Anfernee Simons is in it from the Blazers. And Obi Toppin from the Knicks. There's no Vince Carter, no Blake Griffin, no Dominique Wilkins. Even when the stars were doing the dunk contest, it was in danger of being stale. But this is a chance for a no-name player to become a name, or at least for a little while, 15 minutes of fame. Now, it's not to say that the NBA dunk contest hasn't been a big part of the sports history. Some of the greatest highlights have come from that. You know, you had Jordan, D. Brown, Blake Griffin, Spud Webb, Dominique, even Dwight Howard. But I'd be surprised if we come out of this weekend talking about this year's event. Who's in the three-point shooting contest, Paulie?
It's really good. Devin Booker, Jaylen Brown, Steph Curry. Talk about a guy with nothing to prove.
Yeah, but he was in it in Charlotte, and I think because he was in, you know, he was there where his dad's a broadcaster, yeah. And he grew up. And
there's a guy who could easily pass on that.
Yes.
Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Zach LaVine, Steph Curry, Jaylen Brown, Devin Booker. That's high end.
How many are in it?
Six.
Okay. Yeah.
You want to break down the skills challenge? Wait, hold on a second. Skills challenge, Chris Paul's in it. Good for him.
Yes, Todd.
Is this going to make that much money for the league or the network that they're kicking and screaming the players? They didn't want it. And you got guys participating, especially in the dunk contest, that no one's particularly interested
in. Are you watching?
Well, for the lack of anything else that's on,
okay,
you're watching.
That's why it's on. This is about your broadcast partner, TNT. Yes, of course it makes
money. There's no fans. There's no fan fest. There's no weekend. They're begging people to stay away for safety reasons. Don't go anywhere near the arena.
This is TV. Well, don't watch it then.
I'll take a peek, but they're just cramming it all in.
No. Don't take a peek then. I don't sit there and go, boy, are they making money off this? Or how much money are making? I just watch. If it's not there, I'll move on to something else. The players want the weekend off, but they also want the money. You know, there's so many incentive clauses, bonuses. Like Joel Embiid wants to be Defensive Player of the Year. Why? I'm going to guess that there's a pretty good paycheck if he's Defensive Player of the Year. And then Doc Rivers came out and, you know, said that Ben Simmons should be Defensive Player of the Year. I'm going to guess he's probably got something in his contract as well. Yes, McLovin.
On the All-Star game, I don't watch the game anymore. I like the Saturday night stuff more.
Yeah.
You know, like the game's gotten so far from competitive. Isn't it much worse than it was, say, 25 years ago?
Well, it used to mean something. But, you know, back, you know, the baseball All-Star game meant something. I mean, it's generational. And this is what it is. And it's a showcase. And you can watch your favorite players. You know, you have to factor in a younger demo. Does the younger demo go, boy, they're not playing hard. There's no defense. You know, I grew up with that, where the All-Star game was, you know, this league against that league. They didn't fraternize. They didn't like each other. They thought their league was better than the other league. Like, there was real, it felt real. This feels like it's WWE. Like, hey, let's do some fun things, and it's goofy, and it's, you know, it's pre-planned, it feels like. It's okay. You know, three-point shooting, I like. I love watching great shooters. But the dunk contest, I've been bored with for probably 15 years. The skills competition, I'm okay with watching the skills competition. But, I'm not going to sit there and bet on the All-Star game. I mean, I'm not that, you know, locked into it and looking for a, you know, competitive game. I'm just going to, if they go up and down and have some fun. I am curious what the uniforms look like. And the fact that LeBron picked a lot of guys who like to pass, I thought was interesting. At LeBron getting Luka, getting the Joker. But the Greek Freak, when he was selected, he had this to say yesterday.
So it's you and LeBron, obviously, and then Steph, Luka, and Jokic.
That's a starting five?
Yes.
Yeah, it's over, guys. Me, LeBron, Luka, Jokic, and Steph?
Yes.
Man, that's a good starting five.
Yes, it is. But I like it if you have a little bit of feel to it there. And then LeBron had this to say after the Utah Jazz, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell were the two last picks, or the last two picks of the All-Star draft.
I just want to say something, because there's no slander. There's no slander to the Utah Jazz, but you guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton were, we would have never picked those guys in video games.
Okay. Utah Jazz have the best record in the NBA, and they keep waiting for some kind of recognition. Like, somebody please notice us. And McLovin is the only one publicly, it feels like, who is giving them any attention. It's usually negative attention, yeah. McLovin. So now you have company.
Yeah.
Even LeBron doesn't like the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, me and LeBron were always in sync. I'm not surprised here. But I do relate to that, though. You never wanted to be Stockton and Malone. Nobody was like playing Stockton and Malone on the playground. You're always more exciting players.
So you'd rather have an exciting player, but not necessarily Hall of Fame players. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's the, you know, it, and I'm going to lump scene. I take Vince Carter over everybody. That's who I wanted.
Okay.
You know, there are guys who might be more effective. Tim Duncan will win a championship, but I never fantasize about being Tim Duncan.
Wow. I don't want to hear who you fantasize about.
I always dreamed of being Dr. J or Vince Carter. I never wanted to hit an 8-foot bank shot in game 6 of the finals. That never crossed my mind in the backyard.
Oh, well, got a snort out of Paulie there.
Fantasize about an 8-foot bank shot.
Yeah.
I mean, Duncan was boring. That was, even he would admit that.
Yes. Yeah. When your nickname is the Big Fundamental, it's not like you're going, you got to see his highlights. Really? What's his nickname? Like the human highlight reel? No. The Big Fundamental.
Look at that footwork.
Oh. That's a crisp bounce pass.
Who's the equivalent of that now? Is there a boring player out? I guess Joker a little bit, but he's got some fancy passes. But who's the Tim Duncan?
You're on board with the Joker being boring.
Yeah.
I see so much bad basketball. That's why I fight back when you say this, because the Joker plays basketball correctly. He does. That there is a... And maybe it's a purist viewpoint of this. You know, that sounded so snobbish. But he knows how to play the game. And I like watching people. I'm watching basketball last night. I'm going, this isn't any good. There's no structure. It's crazy. I'm going to take a shot. It's 1-on-3. I'm going to hoist a 3. It's not good. It is not good product. Yes, Heaton.
Is there a way to play the game the right way and not be boring?
Well, I think playing the game the right way still brings about fundamentals. And Jordan, to me, had great fundamentals.
Is there a modern basketball player who is like, plays the game the right way and damn, they're fun to watch?
Well, LeBron does.
Yeah.
Yeah, LeBron. Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
What?
Is that Kevin Durant is a little closer to Joker. That LeBron will throw a thunderous dunk down to keep the fans involved. Kevin Durant, he's gonna pop a mid-range jumper in your face. I don't think he's a highlight player either.
Okay, as somebody who never passed and never played defense, I still look for that on the basketball floor because I understand that's how you win. You have to have those players who understand the game. That's why LeBron went out of his way. So he got Luka and he got Joker. Guys who understand the game, pass, rebound, all of those things. Go ahead. Who else are you going to rip?
But like, if you look at the history of All-Star, Vince Carter would win the All-Star vote every year. Like, fans want that. They don't want Rudy Gobert. They don't want Joker, you know.
Okay, Vince is entertaining.
Entertainment, right.
But he never won anything.
I understand.
But so you would rather have a guy who's unbelievable. Like your team should have been the Houston Rockets. They were so entertaining and they didn't win anything. Right? That would be your team.
Entertaining. The only thing
How about
the
Golden State Warriors?
I love
with
that.
Tim team. Hardaway and
Run TMC.
Run
Are you
TMC?
Kidding me? I would stay up till 2 in the morning to watch them.
And they didn't win anything.
Yeah.
But boy, they were entertaining.
By the way, the Rockets were not entertaining. It was 27 foul shots a game for James Harden. That was...
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, you love that. You didn't love TMC? You loved the Mullen Hardaway team.
I do. I love that. But also, if you understand, like, Molly and Hardaway were great.
Your all-time guy is Pete Maravich.
I know. But Pete didn't win. He never won.
And you would watch him
yes.
any chance you got.
You know who my favorite player is of all time? Well, I have a few. But my favorite player of all time, when he played at his peak, he was wonderful to watch. Bill Walton. Not exciting.
You're right. So he's a fundamental guy, right?
Well, he understood the game. It's about passing. It's about movement. All of these things are foreign now. You watch a game, there's no movement. Everybody, it's just, you know, you got five guys on the perimeter. That's it. Nothing too exciting. Yeah, Paulie.
Real quick, we're talking about Nikola Jokic. I thought, you know, we call him Jokic. A lot of people, I found out from some fans out there, it's Jokic, Nikola Jokic. Why isn't his nickname the Joker? Because if it's not Jokic, which would be Joker, he should be the Joker. It's like Tom Thibodeau.
Tom Thibodeau is Tibbs.
Coach Tibbs. Can't have both. Pick a pronunciation.
And then it's like he goes around just like choking people out all the time. Isn't that what happened when you got yoked?
Yeah.
Right? Just yoked that.
No, he's all jacked. He's yoked.
Okay, yeah, he's yoked too.
Or if he eats a lot of eggs or something.
The yoker. All right, Todd, you're okay. In. You're back in.
Welcome to the show, Todd.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hour and 13 minutes.
Let's see. So we'll talk about the draft. The draft.
The Joker.
Now, normally I would never be one of the last guys picked if a playground game when I was growing up. But Paulie is an expert on this being picked last. You still get picked. So do you guys feel bad for Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell?
Yes, because no matter what you do for a living, if you're picked last at that, it is a slap in the face. Even though you make millions of dollars and you are an all-star, you're the last of the all-stars. Now, Dan, you have no sense of framework for this argument because you were never picked last. I was perpetually picked last, right? So it's one of those things.
Okay, but there wasn't an honor attached to just being picked for the playground. Let's say I said, Paulie, you're up for producer draft of the year. So producer of the year.
And there's 10 people on the board.
Yes. And you were the last of the producers up for producer of the year.
That would bother me a ton.
Okay. What if I said you're up for the Academy Award Best Actor and there's four other actors?
And I actually saw the voting and realized I got the least amount of votes.
Well, you would realize that you're a long shot.
Right.
Would you have a problem with being one of the best actors that year, but you have the longest odds of winning?
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. I can roll with you there.
These guys are all stars. Like if you said, hey, you're on the Mount Rushmore of SportsCenter anchors, but you're probably the fourth anchor.
Okay, let's say the boss of ESPN was going to do a let's go back to SportsCenter week, and they selected in order how they wanted the SportsCenter guys to go, and you were put last in order. Like it was gone in at the descending order. You would be upset because then...
That's not an honor.
I guess what I'm saying is like when LeBron James picks you last, it's still like I'm the last guy these guys wanted on their team out of all the players. It goes back
In an all-star game, Rudy Gobert is probably the last guy I'm going to pick.
Unless you want some really good low post defense.
Yeah, or somebody who's going to be a rim protector. Yes, Seton.
Well, yeah, you're being picked last out of all the all-stars.
Yes.
But you still made it to this other list compared to the 5,000 other dudes who didn't even get asked to be there. You know what I mean? Or maybe not 5,000, but 1,200 players, however many players there are in the NBA. I don't even know. But you still made it into this sort of elite group. When you're the last kid picked at the playground, it's not like there's 500 kids and we're only taking these 12.
Nobody's
there's only
waiting.
12 of us, and you're the last one out of every single person here. You're the last one we want.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
Yes.
Because that sucks.
This is an honor. You're in the All-Star game. Yeah, Paul.
I've been on the playground when I was a kid, and they were picking up sides for one for like 5-on-5. And the guy would look around like the outskirts.
Just
like
in case somebody's showing up late?
Yeah, like the parking lot, there's a kid or a kid on his bike.
Mailman's going by.
Right.
You know? Hey, do you want, come on.
18-year-old smoking a cigarette, wants to get in with jeans on.
Yeah, I'm a club.
I think there's something going on here personal.
With the Jazz?
Yeah, I don't think people like Rudy Gobert, because there's no way Gobert's worse than Nikola Vucevic, who's on this team. I think, because I know Embiid is openly, they have a huge open feud going on, Joel Embiid and Rudy Gobert. And I think people love Embiid and do not like Gobert. I don't know what I'm basing that on. It's totally gossip. But I was watching Durant and LeBron. It felt like the cool kids were like freezing them out a little bit.
Maybe so. Maybe.
But the Jazz, do the Jazz play dirty ball? I don't think so.
No,
right?
But they got to stop playing the old woe is me. Just play. You know, you had Donovan Mitchell saying that, you know, Utah being a smaller market, they don't get calls. I mean, it's stupid to say it. It really is, because the San Antonio Spurs won 5 titles, and that's a small market. LeBron with the Cavaliers, that's a small market. They won a title there. Big markets, what have the Knicks have done? What have they done in the last 30 years? So it's not, oh, we're a small market. Okay. Utah is not, you know, people probably don't tune in to see the Jazz because it's not an exciting brand of basketball. It's effective. It's not exciting. I would tune in to Charlotte to watch LaMelo Ball more than I would the Utah Jazz. Who's better? Utah by a long shot. I'll tune in to the Pelicans over the Jazz. Why? Because of Zion Williamson. They're not a better team than the Utah Jazz. I'll watch the Atlanta Hawks with Trae Young over the Utah Jazz. Why? Trae Young is more interesting than the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz are a great team. They move the ball. They shoot threes. My kind of team. Yeah, Paul.
Those uniforms they got out there are gorgeous.
I will give them credit for that, too.
Those Red Rock Desert look things.
Gorgeous. I like it. I like it. Yes, McClough.
Yeah, there's something about LaMelo Ball and Trae Young. They're a little bit like Globetrotters. Like, they make fancy passes. That's something. Is that fair to say, or is that total? You watch a lot more LaMelo Ball, but I see these highlights where he'll go behind the back when he doesn't need to at all.
I don't care.
It's fun, right?
Yes. He's a lot of fun to watch. And he's fun to watch because, you know, his ability to pass the ball. Yes, Todd.
And what's wrong with being under the radar or disrespected? They can have the last laugh at the end of the season. Isn't it a little less pressure on you then if everyone's forgetting about the Jazz or they're feeling dissed and just to see what happens at the end?
Thank you, Todd. Are they going with the red, white, and blue basketball for the All-Star game, Paulie?
They sure are.
That's
for the three-point shooting contest, the money ball.
Oh.
It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
Spalding.
See, I always loved, they used to have these basketballs. I had a green and white one, and it was great to be able to follow your rotation. Because you youngsters out there, get that rotation there. And when you have the red, white, and blue ball, and you see that spinning, great to be able to realize how much rotation you have on your shots. We should get one of these. Spalding, thank you. You've done a great job with the basketball. I really like it. I'd love to be able to have that in the man cave.
Yeah, you got to go heavy-handed.
Wink, wink. Yeah. Yeah, Spalding looks beautiful. It says the official All-Star ball, but this is just the three-point money ball, but not to be used in the game itself?
That's what I think. It looks like it's the money ball on the rack.
Man, I'd be using that sucker in the game.
Tight shorts.
Love it.
Hair parted down the middle.
Yes. Yes. Love that. The old ABA ball. Fell in love with it. Let me see. Do we take a break here? We'll talk NBA. Tim McMahon of the Mothership has always been great. And got to ask him a few things. Are the Jazz being frozen out on purpose here? You know, just because Stockton and Malone played in Utah. So if you had throwouts, if Luka Doncic played in Utah, then LeBron would not take Luka because he didn't grow up playing the Utah Jazz in video games. That's LeBron's logic, right? If the Greek Freak played in Utah, he wouldn't take him because he's in Utah. Not buying that. Not buying that at all. I don't want Rudy Gobert, but Donovan Mitchell? Yeah. I'd love to have Donovan Mitchell on my team. We'll take a break. Also, the great Ernie Johnson, TNT Inside the NBA. There's a four-part documentary on Inside the NBA. First episode was last night, but over the next three nights, you have the documentary Inside the NBA. So Ernesto will join us coming up. Take a break. 21 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Discover something brighter. When's the last time you thought about that? Discover the Discover card. That's the first place to start. You get the cash back match. And look, any credit card can offer cash back. But Discover goes a step further. Discover matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting a birthday card. It's shaped like cash. You know there's cash inside. In this case, it's stuff with your first year cash back match. You don't even have to send a thank you note. Discover card. Cash back match. Discover.com/match. Discover something brighter. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I'm going to have our March Madness contest where you get to compete against the Danettes, myself, and celebrities. Everybody gets to be in. Everybody in the deep pool, deep end of the pool. And the only way you can be part of March Madness with us, you have to be on the newsletter, danpatrick.com. And the only way that you can listen to the James Caan interview that I did, Sonny Corleone from Godfather, if you're on the newsletter, that'll be released a little bit later on today. Phone calls are always welcome. Michael in Maine, before we get to Tim McMahon of ESPN. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Danette, thank you for taking my call. I'm just trying to follow you here. So one segment, I hear you say that Bill Walton is your favorite player of all time. You like the way the ball moved, players moved, and he played, you know, the way that you feel the game should be played.
Yeah.
And then in this next segment, no offense to Michael, you tell me you'd rather watch the Charlotte Hornets over the Utah Jazz.
No. I said LaMelo Ball, not the Charlotte Hornets.
But you seem like more of a purist to me. Shouldn't we reward the teams that are playing? Like, I also like that style of basketball. Or the Golden State Warriors when the ball is moving and there's penetration and there's ball moving. I mean, Steph Curry never stops moving. Over watching ISO ball with either, you know, the Pelicans or Charlotte or some of these other teams. And I feel like I'm joking here, but I feel like that's part of the problem for the NBA is that we all complain about the style, but those are the players we tune in for. So I just think that's the problem. Thanks for taking the call.
All right. LaMelo Ball is fun to watch. And his best trait is his ability to see the floor. Zion Williamson, I love how he brings back memories of Moses Malone. He's just relentless. That doesn't mean, you know, I love the way the Pelicans play. They play worse defense than I do. And the Hornets aren't a very good team. Man. Let's bring in Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA. Staff writer who joins us on the program. Do you think that the Utah Jazz were singled out here by LeBron and company, that they were the last two picks, Rudy Gobert and Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if LeBron and KD intentionally did this. I don't know if they, you know, got together and plotted this, but is it disrespect to the Jazz, to the team that has the best record in the NBA? Will it be perceived as disrespect in Utah? Yeah. Absolutely. There's no question about it. And I really, for Rudy Gobert especially, he's obviously the guy who went dead last. You know, he's the guy who felt like he had to wait an extra couple of years just to get invited to the All-Star game. And really, you know, the video game stuff, come on. You think, was LeBron playing with the New Orleans Pelicans growing up? I don't know. I don't know that he had too much experience playing with the Pelicans growing up. But it kind of felt like LeBron and KD, again, whether it was intentionally or not, were basically saying, You might have the best record in the league, but you really don't belong at the top level of the NBA.
Yeah, so using LeBron's logic, if Luka Doncic played in Utah, then he wouldn't take him because Karl Malone and John Stockton play there, right? That's what he's telling me.
Yeah, blame it on Stockton and Malone for sure.
Yeah. I like this. I'm not big on the All-Star weekend, but if it's here and they're willing to have some fun with this, with the slam dunk. So they're cramming the slam dunk contest in at halftime, right?
Yeah, and not the most thrilling dunk contest field that I think we've ever seen, but such is life.
And Alex Caruso of the Lakers turned down the invitation?
Yeah, when a 6'3" white dude who's balding is turning down dunk contest invitations, we've got some issues.
And you have the 3-point contest where you do have some, you got great shooters in there, so that and I like watching it, but
yeah, the 3-point contest has significantly more sizzle than the dunk contest. Let's be honest, we all wish Zion would have accepted a dunk contest invitation. That's what we want to see, and then. Toppin might throw down some nice stuff. We wanted to see Zion on that stage, and so that's a bummer that he didn't take the invitation. Caruso, we can live without.
Although I might have been interested in seeing Alex Caruso in the dunk contest.
Listen, the man can fly, and especially since he just kind of acknowledged that he's got a little endorsement deal, and his knowledge like going full buzz. He's all aerodynamic now. He can really get up.
I had a couple of things here. I don't know who's going to be traded here. It feels like Kyle Lowry's available or sort of available. How available is Lowry and where do you see him landing?
Well, and that's the big question, because at this point it does not look like Bradley Beal will be available. So Kyle Lowry would then become the most impactful player potentially on the trade market. And, when you look at fits for him, the one that really stands out is Philly, and not just because he's from there, not because he's a Nova guy, although that's a nice little storyline, but simply because of how he would fit with the 76ers, how he would fit giving a third star to a team that obviously has Joel Embiid playing at an MVP level, Ben Simmons. And also, Daryl Morey is as aggressive as any, personnel executive in the league in terms of in-season trades. He tried to make the Harden trade happen. That didn't. Lowry would not require giving up Ben Simmons, but I fully expect that Daryl Morey will make an aggressive pitch because, the 76ers are one of these handful of teams that obviously have a legitimate shot at winning a championship this season.
NBA analyst Greg Anthony was on the show on Wednesday. He disagreed with me, saying that this was a two-way street with the Rockets. They also quit on James Harden and vice versa. I know you did a deep dive on this, but separate fact from fiction here with what went on. I said I couldn't vote for Harden if I had to vote for MVP because he quit on the Rockets. He showed up out of shape. He did not want to be there. And this is a team that he helped build and deconstruct. And now I'm going to have him as MVP in the same season. I can't see it happening. So what did you find out with your deep dive?
I mean, look, I understand what you're saying, and obviously it was a bad look the way that that he gave up on the Rockets. But I also think if you have an MVP vote, you have to just evaluate based on pure value. And his value to the Brooklyn Nets, I think you have to include James Harden in that conversation. Yeah. I wouldn't say that the Rockets quit on Harden. I think you can definitely take a look at some of the moves they made, some of the moves they didn't make. Not going into the luxury tax his last few years, and you can nitpick it, but they were trying this summer, they were aggressive trying to kind of remodel the roster, getting Christian Wood, hoping they could convince him to stay, but obviously there was just no hope. But again, if you talk about what really went wrong with the Rockets, what was kind of the move that had this whole thing tumbling down, it was giving up Chris Paul and a whole bunch of picks for Russell Westbrook. And James Harden not only was on board with that, but he was pounding the table wanting it to happen.
Yeah, that's where I don't have any sympathy. Not that Harden's looking for it, but you wanted these players. You wanted to get rid of these players. And so is he playing at an all-star MVP? Absolutely. Yeah. but that doesn't mean he should be the MVP. It feels like, you know, earlier and earlier in the season, we're looking at MVP candidates, Tim, and maybe this is just sports talk radio. We need content. With the NFL, we start talking about the MVP usually after, what, the first month of the season. You know, trying to handicap this, Jokic has been wonderful in Denver. Embiid has been great. Harden, you can throw him in there. LeBron, I know it's really important to him, but when it comes down to the MVP, what is the, this guy has to have this to get my MVP vote?
Yeah, Damian Lillard's the guy you didn't mention, or I think has to be in that discussion. Look, this is all ridiculously premature, but it's not media-driven. It's player-driven as well. I mean, hell, LeBron started lobbying for this MVP when he was still in the bubble complaining about last year's MVP vote. So don't blame the media on this one.
Oh, no. We get blamed for this, Tim, because just because LeBron said it doesn't mean we have to pick up the baton and keep running with it.
We will give them the assist, all right, at the minimum. But, you know, these guys are lobbying themselves. So, right, a couple weeks ago, I would have said LeBron. Anthony Davis went out. Obviously, the Lakers have taken a dip here. My first half MVP would be Joel Embiid. He's averaging 30 and 10. He's a major impact player on the defensive end. The Sixers have the best record in the league. And his last statement going into the All-Star break was 40 and 19 against Rudy Gobert and the team with the best record in the league, hitting a clutch three to send that thing into overtime. And then not only has he been the best center in the NBA, but he's one of the best referees. He got Donovan Mitchell teed up in that game. So, you know, how do you not go with that?
Why is it that I look at Embiid the way I do James Harden, and he'll never be in as good enough shape as I think he should be, but he is still incredible. He might be in great shape, Tim. I just don't know if he's ever going to look like he's in great shape.
Yeah, and it's funny. If you look at him early in his career, he was definitely leaner. And look, the thing with Embiid is, can he play the vast majority of the games? And, you know, can he finish games strong? And so far this season, that's happened. But, you know, Embiid's a guy, you know, a lot of these guys, they like to complain about the voting of, you know, for him in particular, it's all NBA last year. How did Gobert get over? Dude, you missed 20-something games and your team finished sixth in the conference. The 76ers were disappointing last season. So if Embiid continues producing like he is, if the Sixers can fight off the Nets, stay atop the Eastern Conference, and he, you know, to do that, he's going to have to play the vast majority of the games. I think right now, you know, he would be number one on my ballot.
What's the update on Anthony Davis?
We will see. Obviously, that's a situation where, you know what, for the Lakers, the seeding isn't really important. You know, if they're a 3, 4, 5 seed even going in the Western Conference playoffs, if they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis healthy, they're going to feel like they're the team to beat. And you know what? I would agree with them. So, you know, I don't know what the exact timetable for AD is coming back after the All-Star break, but I do know that the Lakers aren't going to rush him. They're thinking long-term, as they should.
Yeah, I know this isn't headline worthy, but if they don't have Anthony Davis, they're not winning the championship this year. And, you know, whatever it is, like, this is true load management for somebody who needs load management with Anthony Davis. Has the supporting cast for the Lakers lived up to its billing?
No. I mean, look, they've been a disappointment since AD went down. There's no question about that. There's too much on LeBron's plate. He hasn't been able to, you know, this was a chance for LeBron to kind of, you know, really enhance his MVP case. That hasn't happened as well. But just the piece there, Marc Gasol's been a disappointment there. You know, Marc Gasol looks like a guy who has had a great career, but, you know, is out of gas at this point. You know, we'll see if that changes in the second half of the season. Montrezl Harrell is a guy with warts. You know, there's a reason that after he got sixth man of the year, the Clippers were just fine letting him walk across the hallway. The fact that he's playing 19 minutes in a game where Anthony Davis, is wearing sweats on the bench, I think that tells you a lot. And so, you know, they're not invincible. But again, if AD and LeBron are healthy, they can have some warts for that supporting cast, and that's still the team that I would put my money on.
If they're completely healthy and the Nets are completely healthy, you like the Lakers over the Nets?
I would, just because my general philosophy on the NBA is, if LeBron has a legitimate all-NBA co-star, I don't bet against him. You know, if he's healthy and has a legitimate All-NBA co-star, I'm not betting against him. And, you know, the Nets, I mean, offensively, they are unbelievable. But, you know, we'll see about their health as well. You know, KD obviously has been banged up. Kyrie is not exactly the most durable star in the league. You know, we'll see how they're looking going to playoffs. But no, the Nets obviously are a force to be reckoned with. And I think, you know, statistically and just by the eye test, the best offensive team that we've seen.
Tim, good to talk to you. Have fun at the All-Star Weekend. We appreciate your time as always.
All right. Appreciate you having me.
That's Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA staff writer, and did a deep dive on the Rockets' divorce from James Harden. Nate in Oklahoma, before we take a break. Hey, Nate, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Nate.
Great interview with Dan Campbell yesterday. It's great to know that if the Titans can't win anything, at least we have a coach that no one else wants to fight. You know, on the whole Utah Jazz LeBron James thing, you know, I grew up in the same kind of era as LeBron playing video games. Yeah, I didn't want to play with the Jazz either. But I think that's just a cop-out for him not wanting to take those guys. On the San Antonio Spurs, yeah, you didn't dream of making 8-foot bank shots like McLovin said. But are you telling me that Tim Duncan winning 5 NBA championships, 2 MVPs, and no one bothers him today? I would take that all day. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Nate. So you would take the success and you're not famous? Nobody bothers you? Okay. That's interesting. But, you know, I mean, McLovin has a point. San Antonio was never exciting. Ginobili was wonderful to watch. Love watching Ginobili. But, no, a team that doesn't embrace the three and, you know, you had nice fundamentals on display. Okay, I get it. Not exciting, but they did win championship. Would you rather have a really exciting team that didn't win or a team that wasn't exciting that did win? Yeah, Paul.
If there's an acting comparison, it'd be like, would you rather have the career of Tom Cruise or Paul Giamatti? Paul Giamatti could probably walk the street, doesn't get mobbed. He's got a working actor, very well respected, but no one's standing in line for his autograph. Or you could be Tom Cruise, a household name, world famous, blockbusters, and you have to, you know, you're one of the most famous people on the planet.
Would you rather be Frances McDormand, who has 2 Academy Awards and probably going to win a third one this year, or Julia Roberts?
Wow, perfect.
There you go. Frances McDormand, great actress.
Julia's got one, though, for Aaron Brockovich. Doesn't
it?
That darn Aaron Brockovich. Yeah. I think. We have to double check that.
Mm. Okay.
It's a good one, though. Yeah. By the way, Rosamund Pike might push your girl, Frances McDormand, on this one.
It's McDormand.
McDormand. Sorry. Doug McDormand. That movie we were talking about, I Care a Lot, Rosamund Pike getting some buzz, Dan.
Do you think if I fattened up Tim McMahon from ESPN, he would look like Ben Roethlisberger? What do you think?
If he had Ben's head size?
Yes. If I just fattened up his head.
100%.
I think he's Ben Roethlisberger's doppelganger.
It's Tim Roethlisberger.
Tim Roethlisberger's brother. Yes, Todd.
McLovin was right. 2001 Best Actress, Erin Brockovich, Julia Roberts.
All right. We'll take a break. Phone call's coming up after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. McLovin says we have a controversial result with the poll question. I didn't even know what the poll question was today.
Okay, so what do we want to do for NFL overtime? And the choices we discussed at the beginning of the show are no overtime, very interesting. The current system where both teams basically get a shot. The spot and choose rule that Mike Florio explained. Mm-hmm. You know that one. Mm-hmm. Or sudden death, old school, which I like a lot too. But then at the last second, we're like, let's throw in the college system just for fun, even though that's not going to happen with the NFL. That's running away with the poll.
Yeah, I figured, because there's more offense, it's more exciting, more scoring. I get it.
But the NFL's never... Okay.
No. They're not going to do that. They don't want more plays. They don't want more plays with contact in them. Yeah, Paul.
But if the fans want something, shouldn't the NFL consider it? Because that's how you make money. They don't care about players' health. They don't really care about players' health. If I saw a poll that all the fans wanted the college overtime system in the NFL... it's the most probably the most fair system from a balance of gameplay.
Yeah, but the just because they want it doesn't mean that you give them to them. They're still going to watch. It's not like they go, yeah. No, I'm not watching unless you get the college overtime rule. Yes, Todd.
And as far as worrying about players' health, like Mike Florio was saying earlier, if they would even consider having just a four-day break between games to have standalone games, how is that caring about players' health, or how would the Players Association ever okay that?
Nobody cares about players' health. The players don't care about players' health. You want to appear to care. That's all this is. Players are signing up for another game. Another game check. The owners don't care. These are all interchangeable parts. That one got hurt. Bring up another one. They don't care. The only reason why they cared is there was a $1 billion lawsuit. That's it. Yeah, see.
At a certain point, though, because I know it's like, the NFL is sort of always feeding the machine and it's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year that we're talking about it. But at a certain point, does the, every Monday storyline complaining about a bad call that weekend or a stupid rule, does that eventually have some kind of fatigue on the popularity of the league?
I think they love being talked about. I think they view it as any publicity is good publicity.
But any publicity is good publicity in theory, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's like a hard rule.
Unless it would bring into question the integrity of the outcome with gambling. That, to me, would be something that the NFL would take note of. That we would be saying somebody was throwing a game or felt like they favored this team over that team. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, but controversy, even bad ones sell, Everybody loves talking about it. I think it becomes even more interesting if it affects the betting lines. Maybe that even sells more. I know it's not good. You don't want it, but it's certainly a topic.
No, they want to make sure there's going to be billions of dollars gambled.
Oh, by the way, your sudden death proposal
is
a close second to the college overtime. That's the most popular.
I love sudden death. I would have no overtime during the regular season. I want to see what your strategy is with 5 minutes to go in regulation when there's no overtime. And then when you get to overtime, it's a flip of a coin because you got into overtime. You either feel lucky you got in or you got to deal with the fact that you got into overtime. And it's a flip of the coin. That's it. Coming up top of the hour, he is the star, one of the stars of NBA's Inside the NBA on TNT. He's Ernie Johnson will join us on the program. By the way, don't forget about the 12:15 Club podcast with the backroom guys, with Mario and the big German, Dylan the graphics guy, and Marvin. They recap the week on the show. Tyler, the moderator, will be the guest on the 12:15 podcast. He's cooking, by the way. He's the one that he was here yesterday afternoon. Big opportunity for Tyler, the moderator. Tyler, the griller. Now that Alan has left the building, Tyler wants to take over. And not afraid to show some skin. Tyler is grinding. Ernie Johnson will join us coming up in about 10 minutes. More phone calls as well. 877-3DP Show. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Make sure you sign up for the DP Show newsletter. A lot of great things coming your way. Go to danpatrick.com to do so. One more item, second hour, and it's M-Drive. Powerful ingredients backed by science. Help me get energized, stronger, leaner. It's a supplement for guys who want to stay on top. You wake up, you feel sluggish, don't want to work out. How's your diet? All these things are important. But I get started on the day with M-Drive, everyday supplement for guys with drive. Get M-Drive, and M-Drive's available. You can go to the website. They have a lot of great things at their website, mdrivedan.com, or Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop. Those are the other places that you can get. You want to hit the ground running when you get ready to start your day, and M-Drive helps you do that. You can get free shipping, and it's a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Check them out. Or you can go to Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop, mdrivedan.com today. And remember, refind your prime with M-Drive. mdrivedan.com.